David Darren's Top 5 Things podcast here at NotShowRadio.com and DaveAndDarren.com. Here are the top 5 things that we got done on our morning show, which you can hear live online at Planet939.com if that's something you want to do. If you want to hear it, like in context, or just continue to listen to the best of the best, the Top 5 Things. Very special episode about to happen. We learn a lot in this episode. I know I do. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren. Hello, Darren.
Hello. The podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. Two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Milan is open every day. Galesburg is open weekdays and Saturdays. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. And Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower, vapes, and edibles. Sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
Let's get right into this one. The top five things. We start with number one.
Number one.
Cranberries, I can't imagine, will go out again with a different singer, right? That wouldn't fly.
Maybe
they couldn't do a...
Couldn't they get the girl from the Cardigans to do it?
Nina Pearson?
Okay, if you say so.
She's still very much with the Cardigans.
Well, they could do both. The Cardigans could open up for the Cranberries, and then she could wear one outfit.
And she has to do both?
She does both.
No.
Yeah.
That's not...
I think that would be a good idea.
That's not right. Don't make Nina Pearson do both of those things. I'm against that.
Hmm.
No. It wouldn't be appropriate for the Cranberries to do. Bands do that.
They sure do.
If a lead singer leaves or passes away, they go out with a different singer. But no one would be interested in seeing the Cardigans without Dolores O'Riordan, right?
Who knows? It could turn into their Back in Black.
Gosh, never thought of that. I mean, 10,000 Maniacs had been touring with whoever that replacement singer is for a lot longer than Natalie Merchant was ever in the band.
That's true.
So I suppose it's possible, but it just seems... Maybe it's just still too soon.
You think it's unseemly.
Well, I don't think it's unseemly. Like, that's the end of the band, right? You can't... When she's gone, that's the end. There's no more... You don't get somebody else. They have a singer who did backing vocals on tour...
Well, there you go.
Do you give her the promotion and bump her up?
Maybe.
No, that's just not something you can do. I'm going to say that doesn't happen. Dolores O'Riordan drowned in a bathtub in a hotel room, right?
Did she do that on purpose?
Well, it was sedation by alcohol poisoning.
Oh.
I've never, and I'm somebody who likes to have a good time, I've never gotten drunk and thought, a bath is what I need.
No. Sometimes a good cold shower.
Not even that.
It's like, I gotta get my act together.
that's not right. The Sunday Morning Time Warp, it is brought to us, Darren, by QC Detail.
In Bettendorf, everybody loves a clean, detailed car, and this is a great idea for Valentine's Day. This Valentine's Day, give someone you love what they love. And that, of course, is a clean and detailed car with a gift card from QC Detail. They offer exterior, interior, and premium packages. They do just a fantastic job. They're going to make your car look like it's brand new. Or as Dave said, the best he ever saw his car. His car wasn't that clean and nice when he bought it.
No.
For crying out loud.
I got it at a dealership and it wasn't that nice.
The best prices on ceramic and graphene coatings. Purchase a premium package and you're going to get a free $25 gift card for yourself as well. QC Detail, they're at 323 17th Street in Bettendorf and online at QCDetail.com.
So something for your Valentine, a little something for you.
That's
because
right.
After all, isn't that the greatest love of all?
Yeah.
You know who said that? Another singer who drowned in a bathtub.
He didn't write it, though.
No. Did George Benson write it?
I don't think he even wrote it.
Who wrote Greatest Love of All?
He's the one who had the hit, the first hit with it, but I don't think he, and he wrote certainly some of his hit songs, but I don't think he wrote that.
It was written by Michael William Masser, and the lyrics are by Linda Creed.
Okay.
Who also wrote the lyrics to... I'm Stone in Love with You by the Stylistics.
Nice.
and the Spinners Rubber Band Man.
Oh, right on. That was my brother's CB handle.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
Rubber Band Man?
Yeah, I was Monty Python and he was Rubber Band Man.
You know, that's great. I never got to have a handle.
You didn't have a CB handle?
No, I wasn't old enough to be on the CB, but my dad was Big Spender.
Hey, Big Spender.
That's right. Which was hilarious. Because let me tell you something. The only thing he spent money on was at CB.
Hey, listen, we never even had cereal in a box. What would your handle have been?
I never gave it any thought.
Okay, this is what I want people to do.
Uh-huh.
On the Snowstar Extreme Sports text line.
Yes.
470-23-NACHO.
Yes.
If you had a CB handle.
Okay.
Let us know what it was.
Yes.
Or what would your CB handle have been?
I'm going to ask
that. What was Larry's? Moonshine.
I forgot.
He was moonshine.
I gotta barbecue your ass, Evaluation.
I'm gonna ask when you tell us on the Snowstar Extreme Sports text line, I'm gonna ask that you let us know if it was your handle
yes.
or it would have been your handle.
Right.
Because that's important information to
yes,
have.
There is a difference.
CB handles. If you are old enough to have a CB handle, let us know.
Or what would it have been?
Yeah. I haven't.
The goddamn Germans got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, he was the rubber band man. Hey, this is little rubber band man.
This is the rubber band man. You got your ears on?
Uh-huh.
I got some handles here that have been sent to us on the Snowstar Extreme Sports text line, 470-23-NACHO.
Okay.
There's a couple here that I'm not reading on the air. And you know who you are, and you know why I'm not reading
these.
You
can't use that on the CB.
No. Here's one from the 563. It says, like all the cool guys in high school, I had a CB but never used it. I'd be Bibster because I wear overalls every day.
Bibster.
That's the handle he uses here on the text line, so I guess that makes sense.
This is the Bibster.
Call me the Bibster.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people's CB handles would have been... their cover five names, I guess.
That's not bad. It's not bad.
I mean, if you've got a cover five name, then you do have a CB handle.
Mad Duck.
Mad Duck.
Uh-huh. Trout Stalker. Here's one from the 309. It says, my daddy was called Mule Skinner.
The Mule Skinner.
He's no longer with us. Mule Skimmer. That's fantastic. I still haven't come up with a handle. I guess that's my assignment for
today. Well, I guess it would be Big Papa.
You know, you're right. That probably...
I mean, don't overthink it.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Big Papa. I just saw County Mountie with a customer at mile marker 163.
That's a big 10-4. This is a Swami.
Swami.
I guess I would probably move on. I would no longer be Monty Python. I would be the Swami.
Well, but you can't change your handle.
No,
you're still not. Monty Python, right?
Yeah,
you got an Evel Knievel at mile marker 263. Watch out for that eye in the sky. And there's a Kojak with a Kodak. Come on back. You got your ears on? God, that's all I wanted to
Glory sakes alive.
It
looks like we got ourselves a dare.
Glory sakes alive.
What do they say? What's in the song? Not glory sakes alive.
What, are you talking about the song Convoy?
Looks like we got ourselves a damn convoy.
Watch out.
What do they say?
I'm just a couple miles past the chicken coop. You know what the chicken coop is? It's where you have to go get weighed.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing was a sensation. I remember hearing it on the bus.
That's all I wanted to be as a kid.
Glory sakes alive. What does he say?
Glory sakes alive. In the
song.
In the convoy song.
Yeah, in the convoy song.
Glory sakes alive.
Not glory sakes alive.
Heavens to Meredith. Breaker 19, this here's the rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Pigpen? Come on.
Come on.
Oh, glory sakes alive.
What's he say?
Let's see. by the time we hit that Chi-Town, them bears were getting smart. Uh-huh. They brought some reinforcements from the Illinois National Guard.
Just before they realize they have a convoy, what does he say?
Before he realizes?
Yeah.
Okay, so by the time we got into Tulsa Town, we had 85 trucks in all.
Oh, boy.
But there's a roadblock on the cloverleaf, and them bears was wall-to-wall. Yeah, them Smokies is thick as bugs on a bumper. They even had a bear in the air. And I says, calling all trucks, this here's the duck.
Yeah.
We about to go a hunting bear.
Oh, sure you are.
All right, tough guy.
Sure you are.
You're going to jail, dummy. Mercy sakes alive.
Mercy sakes alive.
Looks like we got us a convoy.
Looks like we got mercy sakes alive. What did I say?
Something similar.
Glory be to God. We got ourselves a convoy.
Dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs.
Uh-huh.
Cab over Pete with a reefer on.
Nice.
And Jimmy hauling hogs.
Oh, that's...
that's just the greatest.
All the way to number one. For like ever.
What, did it go to number one?
Oh, it went to number one.
C.W. McCaw?
Yeah.
And Convoy? They made a movie out of it, I remember.
Sure they did.
With the... Chris Christopherson and...
Ally McGraw?
Yes!
Oh, my gosh. Ally McGraw.
Yeah?
Yikes.
Never...
Oh, man.
Yeah?
Oh, boy.
Went to number one on the charts.
How long is
this? There was a sequel to Convoy. A continuation of the story. Where he travels across Europe.
Europe? European Convoy? What is this, Vacation? It's a Christmas convoy.
We got a Christmas convoy.
Mercy. Glory be to God. We got ourselves a Christmas convoy. Oh, sweet baby Jesus. We got ourselves a
sweet
Christmas
baby Jesus in the manger. Why can't I be in the convoy? That wasn't unheard of for when there was a novelty song to follow it up with a sequel, right? I mean,
well,
God knows Bobby
second...
Boris Pickett tried to do a thousand different monster mashes.
And the twist, they didn't. They only did the one Mr. Jaws, though.
Oh,
although that's not true.
Dickie Goodman did 100 Mr. Jaws.
Did he?
Oh, my God, yeah.
I know you did one.
He was doing...
Did you ever get sued for that?
No. Fair use.
It's called
fair use. Dickie Goodman, that's all he did. He did one that was E.T. He did every movie.
That's because he was a bad gambler.
That's true. He wasn't great at the ponies.
He was not.
All right, let me give you a little bit of this, because I didn't know this was a thing. C.W. McCaw's greatest hits, Around the World with Rubber Duck. This is the follow-up to Convoy.
Nice.
Well, it's...
Breaker 19, this here's a duck again. You got a copy on me, Pigpen, come on. Oh, negatory, Pigpen, there ain't no way out except for that one Atlantic Ocean. Now listen, drop them hogs off in Omaha and get over here in the short, because it definitely looks like we got us a problem.
Wait a minute. They're going to drive across the Atlantic Ocean in their big rigs?
They think so.
What the hell is wrong with this guy?
Bears to the left, bears to the right. We didn't have no place to go. They had us backed up clean to the shore, and them cab over peach don't float. Jesus gon' save us. So praise the Lord, Mr. Ford, and follow that microbus 10-4.
That wasn't far off.
You could have written this. You could have written this stupid song.
We got ourselves a Christmas convoy.
Praise Jesus. He could walk on water, and we're going to take these Kenilworths over too. Because the friends of Jesus have magic powers. This could be a hit now. You know,
ho, 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 we got ourselves a Christmas convoy.
People love sea shanties, and I'm not joking. Like, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Sea shanties are
a big thing right now.
Huge right now. This, I mean,
this could get re-released.
I might have to add this into the rotation.
Yeah, and take this all the way to number one.
Sank about 110 of them.
I bet you did. I bet you put 110 in the drink.
Not everyone made it across the ocean.
As a matter of fact,
there's 110 dead truckers at the bottom of the ocean. Praise Jesus.
They definitely gone 10-7. By the time we got into that Piccadilly town, about half of them was lost at sea. I said, break 1-9 for a 10-33. What we got was a cotton pick of BBC.
Say, Faversham, looks like the Americans have got themselves another bloody convoy.
This is the greatest song I've ever heard in my life. I had no idea.
Who keeps just driving into the ocean one after another and sinking to the bottom?
Not all of us made it, but that was never the plan. We're a death cult convoy. Some of us made
it.
Got
a trailer full of hogs riding in the Atlantic.
He's not talking into a CB. It's just a live lobster in his hand. Pigpen, can you hear me on this here? Lobster, come on back. I had no idea there was a sequel. This is the greatest song ever. They end up traveling across Europe, and they make it even to the USSR and Japan, Darren.
Huh.
Until we finally had something to say. You got it. Comrade Duck, you have been given a tidbit bacon molasses to get your cotton picking trucks out of the USSR.
In any way, shape, or form, did anyone ever refer to it as the USS of R?
No.
I don't think so.
No, this is not accurate.
No.
There's a lot that's problematic with the lyrical content here.
Yeah. It's like they're making up as they go. None of this holds together. Now take us to Japan.
You want to hear when he gets to Japan?
Yeah.
Oh, 10-4, Big Ben. What's your 20? Australia? Mercy sakes, ain't nothing down there but Tasmanian devils and them Q-Ala bears. What's that? No double nickel lemon. We're going to be there in short, Big Ben. This here's Rubber Dub 10-10 and doing it to it like Pruitt used to do it to it.
That's the greatest. So they head to
Australia. Clearly has no idea how far Australia is away.
We'll be there in a minute.
Be there
in
a
our
minute.
Trucks.
Driving across the ocean.
It doesn't hold up. Sorry, C.W. McCall, but that's marvelous.
That's round insanity.
The world with Rubber Duck, the follow-up to Convoy.
Hmm.
Good stuff.
Number two.
The wind, I know, drives you nuts. It got stupid windy last night out of nowhere.
It did. What was that all about?
Well, that was an Alberta Clipper tearing through town.
Yeah, I noticed that because I had just let the dogs out.
Mm-hmm. Who?
Yeah, it was me.
Darren let the dogs out.
I did.
Darren.
And then I had him come back in, and all of a sudden it just starts whipping. I'm like, what's going on?
Unnecessarily so, I'll say.
Like a Scirocco or something.
You don't want that.
No, you don't want that.
What is it in Phoenix they have? Is it the
monsoon season?
No, they don't have monsoon season in Phoenix.
They do.
Do they really?
Yes, they do.
What isn't it called like the Habubi?
Oh, when the big sandstorm?
When the sandstorm comes, isn't that called a Habubi or a Haboob? What is that called? You lived there. I didn't. There's some sort of sandy booby thing that happens, which I think would be fantastic. I'm all for it.
I was watching Decades on your Decades channel last night.
That's the station that shows the old sitcoms and whatnot.
Yeah, and this particular show called Decades, it's an hour long, and they will spotlight things that happened on that particular date. Mm-hmm. So yesterday was January 19th, so they were spotlighting January 19th, things that happened on that day. Jockey underwear was introduced on this date.
Interesting.
And they were showing Jim Palmer from your Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
They were doing an interview with him because he was one of the models for Jockey underwear back in the 80s. You know what movie he could have been in?
So let me just, I just want to put a pin in this for a second.
Yeah.
You're watching a show about what happened on this day in history.
Yeah.
Jim Palmer, Cy Young Award winner for the Baltimore Orioles.
He won it at least once, right?
He's on the TV, and you're watching it thinking, I'm going to make some casting decisions. You know what he'd be good at? I would cast him as sort of a pilot in one of those airport movies.
Okay, he would have been in an airplane, you're saying.
Not airplane, like a serious one, not a goofy one. Like Airport 77 is what I would put him in.
He could have been in Lawrence of Arabia.
What? And playing what?
Playing Lawrence of Arabia.
No.
Yes.
No.
T.E. Lawrence.
No.
Take a look at him and tell me that he doesn't have, he's got Peter O'Toole's eyes.
He's not Peter. Peter O'Toole is Lawrence of Arabia.
But Jim Palmer could have been.
No. I'm looking at him
do
now.
Do a side by side.
No, that's the stupidest thing you've come up with.
No, it's not. He could have been Lawrence of Arabia.
You know what Jim Palmer's nickname was? Cakes.
Cakes?
Cakes. They called him Cakes because he liked to eat pancakes when he pitched.
You know who
days before he pitched, he had pancakes.
You know who else? That Nolan Ryan used to love to eat silver dollar pancakes.
Is that right?
I don't know if that's true or not, but I know that there was a picture of him when I was a kid where, what was it? Did he like strike out 383 batters one season or something like that? Something ridiculous. Well, he had struck out all these batters and some restaurant somewhere he was at had made him a plate of 383 silver dollar pancakes.
Oh,
and there he is looking to eat those pancakes. How many he ate actually? I have no idea. I don't know if he ate one. It could very well have been a situation like me and my star-spangled lunchbox where I never even took it to school. I only posed with it. I'm not sure. Both could be true.
Jim Palmer won the Cy Young in 73, 75, and 76.
He won it three... What?
Yeah, three times Cy Young winner. Yeah. Pitched a no-hitter.
Yeah, he could have been in Lawrence of Arabia.
No, he couldn't. I'm not going along with that.
It could have been the lead. Now, having said that,
he
might not be a good actor at all. So he probably couldn't have. He could have pulled off the look is what I'm saying. I don't know that he could have pulled off an epic acting performance like Peter O'Toole.
No. No,
probably not.
Number 22 could not have been. Lawrence of Arabia and Peter O'Toole are the same. This is not. I'm not going along with this.
What about a stunt double?
He tried to come back after he retired. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
1991, he wanted to try and come back.
I think this is when that interview took place.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
One of the best pitchers in Major League history. Number 22. Pitched a no-hitter, Darren.
Now, did he only play for the Baltimore Orioles? I don't remember him being on any other team.
Yeah, the entire time. He played from 65 to 84. And then tried to come back with the Orioles in 1991.
That's a good long time.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. He was a Gold Glove winner. He led the American League and wins.
Did he have 300 wins?
76 and 77. No, he only won 268 games.
Gotcha. But Hall of Fame, right?
Three times
you win the Cy Young, you're in the Hall of Fame.
Pitched a no-hitter on August 13th,
1969, dudes!
And was not the star of Lawrence of Arabia.
Could have been.
Should not have been.
Could have been.
No.
Yeah.
No. Monarch butterflies, their population moving closer to extinction.
I don't like that.
No, and this is the thing. I feel like I've seen more of them the last couple of years. But the number of Western monarch butterflies that are wintering along the California coast has plummeted to a record low. Every year, this organization called the Xerces Society does their annual winter count. And they're saying they counted fewer than 2,000 butterflies. Normally, it's tens of thousands of them. This year, fewer than 2,000. Monarch butterflies head south to the Pacific Northwest from the Pacific Northwest to California.
Isn't that wild?
And then they return to the same places and even the same trees where they will cluster to keep warm.
They know which tree to go to,
huh? Once it's March, then they spread all across the country. So when you see a monarch butterfly in your backyard, that thing started in the Pacific Northwest, then wintered in California and made its way into your backyard.
Why?
Why?
Why are you coming here?
On the eastern side of the Rocky Mountains, another monarch population travels from southern Canada and the northeastern United States, and they spend their winters in Mexico. They say that the monarch population in the eastern United States has fallen about 80% since the mid-90s.
That's what I was thinking, about 80%.
The count this year, they say, is dismal. And they are close. It's critically low levels of the monarch butterfly because of the destruction of their milkweed habitat. Yeah. And their migratory route is being taken away by people putting up houses.
They're hooked on that milkweed.
And then the pesticides and herbicides getting sprayed all over the place. They are not protected, the monarch butterfly. Again, dangerously close to extinction. Now, you're asking yourself, why is Dave talking about the monarch butterfly and Hall of Fame pitcher Jim Palmer the same segment? Same team colors, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Monarch butterflies have the Baltimore Oriole colors.
Yeah, same as your East Moline Panthers.
Oh, that's correct. Gosh, I feel like I've seen more of them the last couple of years, but maybe that's just because I'm spending more time in my backyard. Like this last summer, I saw a bunch of monarch butterflies, and I was very happy about that. But then I never spent so much time in my backyard as I did last summer because there was nowhere else to go.
Maybe it's the fact that you spend hours at a time dressed up as a milkweed.
Well, there is that. I'm just trying to do my part for the monarch butterflies.
Come and get me.
It means I'm going to smoke a lot of weed tonight.
Woo! A lot of milkweed. Dig. We're Dave and Darren. This is Planet 93.9. Some texts coming in on the Snowstar Extreme Sports text line about monarch butterflies.
Okay.
470-23-NACHO, that's the text line. Brian says here, yeah, I hope they take into consideration the monarch butterflies get ate by birds and other animals. Also, they get splattered on windshields. Yeah, I imagine...
That always happens.
Yeah, birds aren't something new. Neither are windshields. Yeah, no, so of course...
They probably take that into consideration.
Yeah.
But it's,
if anything, you know who's upset about that? The birds that aren't getting to eat all the monarch butterflies.
But didn't we have something last year where there was some sort of talk?
Okay, so there was the birds were more colorful because of a beetle that they were eating.
No.
You're talking about how the birds appeared to be more colorful because of some bugs that had come out that were making them more colorful.
No, we were talking about bugs splattering on your...
Oh, how it was buggier.
It was less buggy.
Right, it was less
and
buggy.
Was part of it the slope of your windshield?
Right, I do remember talking about that. And then here's a text from Rob who says about the monarch butterflies. Rob is a huge Baltimore Orioles fan.
Yeah,
And he says, I don't know how to tell you fellas this, but my Oreos are about extinct as well.
Yeah, they have rough years. They will occasionally, they're kind of a strange team in that you won't even be paying attention. It'll be like somehow the Orioles are in the playoffs and then they'll be awful for like 8 or 10 years.
Didn't they have a decent start? The problem is playing in that American League East. No thanks. You got to go against the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Didn't they start off the year one time like losing 22 straight games or something?
Yeah, I remember that because there was some morning zoo that was doing their show on the roof.
We won't leave.
Yeah, yeah. And every year there's some dummy in Cleveland that does this too where it's like, I'm not going. I'm going to be on the billboard until our Browns win.
I'm starving up here.
And then it's December.
People... I didn't say don't bring me food. No,
apparently there's a hunger strike going on because no one will bring the person food. And this has turned into, now all of a sudden I'm Bobby Sands.
1988, they lost 21 games.
21 is what they...
in a row, but that's not the all-time record. The all-time record is the 1961 Phillies, who lost 23
to games. Start the season?
Well, that's interesting in terms of starting the season.
Yes, because that was starting the season, I think. Right. They were basically, it wasn't even May, and they were already...
They lost in 88, they lost the first game to the Brewers 12-0.
Yeah.
And then they didn't win until they beat the White Sox.
There you go.
9-0. Why do you say it like that?
They're not your team anymore. Don't worry about them.
I don't know about that, Darren.
I know you don't know.
I can't.
You told?
I can't stay away.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox! Let's go, 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 White
Let me ask you this.
I'm not as excited as I should
Let
be.
Me ask you this.
Yes.
If for some reason... we're 30 games into the season, and the White Sox only have 9 wins.
Then fire La Russa.
Then can you just be done
then
with
fire La Russa.
Then you can be done with them?
Here's where I'm at right now with the Tony La Russa sitch. I feel like he's going to show up drunk enough to spring training that he'll never see the regular season. He shows up once or twice in Arizona with a little bit of, you know.
Well, he probably has some favorite places there.
Of course he does. Of course he does.
Oh, I love that steakhouse. They make my favorite drink.
They have one waiting for me when I sit down.
Just the way I like it.
Number three.
The world's most expensive painting. It's a rare Leonardo da Vinci that sold a couple of years ago for $450 million.
Yeah.
Called the Salvator Mundi by Leonardo da Vinci. The most expensive artwork ever to go at auction, selling for more than $450 million. It's from around 1500. The rare painting, one of fewer than 20 authenticated works by...
Oh, my gosh. That would make you nervous.
Leonardo da Vinci. Yeah, having a painting up on the wall that costs $450 million?
Yeah, you'd never be able to sleep. You'd never be able to do anything.
How do you even get insurance on your place if you've got this up?
I don't know that you can.
Right? It's no Mona Lisa, but it ain't bad. The Salvator Mundi, which again, this $450 million, the record before this was a Picasso that went for $179 million.
Yeah, so a real record breaker.
Yes. Now, there is a copy of Leonardo da Vinci's Salvator Mundi that has been recovered by Italian police after the copy was stolen from a museum in Naples.
And what is that going to cost me?
I don't know that there's a price on it. The painting, the Salvator Mundi, is likely a painting that was done around the same time by one of Leonardo da Vinci's students.
Ah.
So it looks...
paint by numbers.
Right. I will show you how to paint just like me. Going to put a happy tree right over here.
And then you make some birds in the distance.
Now we get to go. Let's go get some pizza. Cowabunga, huh?
And then put some snow on the mountaintops.
This was likely painted by one of Leonardo da Vinci's students.
Well, there you go.
Discovered at an apartment during a search... they're in Naples.
They were searching Leonardo's...
no.
The student's apartment?
No, someone else had this stolen artwork. They did a search and they found it. The property's 36-year-old owner found nearby and taken into custody on suspicion of receiving stolen goods. This portrait modeled on Leonardo's famous depiction of Christ with one hand raised in blessing and the other holding a crystal orb. There are numerous copies of the work that were made during Leonardo's lifetime by his students and by his assistants.
Wonder why.
We don't know the name of whoever it was that painted this, but it's pretty pricey. The portrait's owner was the Museum of San Domenico Maggiore in Naples. They say on their website here that there's several hypotheses about who the painter was. They think it might have been Leonardo's student, Girolamo Alibandi. Look, the point is, I don't know how you sleep having a stolen painting in your house. Like a painting that was done by one of Leonardo's assistants or students, that's probably not worth nothing, right?
Oh, no, absolutely. It's worth something.
So the cops won't say when it was stolen, but they've been looking for it, and they found it in this guy's apartment. Must have gotten a tip.
See, if I was to do one of those antique road shows, people would bring stuff up, and I would kind of tell them a story about, you know what, this is this and that.
Uh-huh.
It's only worth like $5. You know what? I'll give you $6 for it. And everybody goes home happy.
So wait a minute. So you
someone would, brings in, you know, some sort of
I've got my lunch pail with the American flag on it from the one day I may or may not have brought it to school.
It was a prop.
Yeah, this is worth $3. Tell you what, I'll give you $4. That's way over value if you look at it percentage wise. I'm pretty happy with that. I guess I'll take it.
I'm going to call an expert in and have him take a look at this. Can you wait around? Sure.
Now, the Salvador Mundi that Leonardo da Vinci painted, the one that went for $450 million, no one knows where it is. Whoever bought it anonymously, and no one's seen it since it went up for sale on November in 2017.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah. So nobody knows where it is, but then what's the point of owning it if you can't show it off?
Is that anything that people still aspire to be?
An art thief?
A jewel thief?
Yeah.
Or an art thief?
I feel like once they stopped making Pink Panther movies, that really kind of fell off the...
I'd really like to be a jewel thief.
Listen, I mean, a world-famous cat burglar.
Yeah, cat burglar.
Right? What was the show with Robert Wagner?
To Catch a Thief.
See? Did he ever get caught? That show made promises that it never made. Never lived up to.
RJ's got away with a few things.
That's based on a Hitchcock movie, right? To Catch a Thief?
That was a Hitchcock movie.
Cary Grant and Grace Kelly, right? But then they made a TV show.
Queen.
Does Bobby Wagner catch thieves, or is he a thief himself? Are you sure it was To Catch a Thief?
It wasn't To Catch a Thief?
It wasn't It Takes a Thief?
It Takes a Thief.
It Takes a Thief was the name.
It Takes a Thief.
Wasn't that the name of the show?
Yeah, that's better.
But what? Because he wasn't, he would do thieving for people.
It Takes a Thief.
So what was the premise of the show? Hey, listen, man, I need something stolen. All right, well, it's going to take a thief, and I'm that guy.
I use a lot of misdirection.
Robert Wagner in his TV debut as a sophisticated thief, Alexander Mundy. Gosh, Alexander Mundy. I wonder if that's all named based on Salvatore Mundi.
There you go.
The painting from Leonardo da Vinci. See, it all comes together. It was a
looks
thief.
Looks like you got a case of the Mundi.
Who worked for the U.S. government in return for his release from prison. He was a cat burglar, a pickpocket, and thief who steals to finance his life as a polished playboy and sophisticate.
That's right.
Serving time in prison when the government's secret intelligence agency proposes a deal. Steal for the government in exchange for your freedom. He's puzzled and asks, quote, let me get this straight.
I'm puzzled.
You want me to steal? His new SIA boss uses the catchphrase, oh, look, Al, I'm not asking you to spy. I'm just asking you to steal. So then he would just steal stuff for the government. Interesting. And was Fred Astaire his dad on the show? Is this something that you can catch on The Cozy? Is this on reruns on MeTV or The Decades?
Keep your eyes open.
It was on for 3 seasons. There's an episode here with, listen to these fabulous babes he's out there stealing with. This is 1968. Tina Louise, Susan St. James, Suzanne Plachet, Yvonne Craig. Oh, yes. Very, a 1969 version of Sally Kellerman, Julie Newmar, a young Jessica Walter. I must find this show. Goodness gracious. This is everything I'm looking forward to show. There's even an episode with young Stephanie Powers, who would, of course, later play his wife in Heart to Heart. Now, they weren't thieves in that, right? They were just millionaires.
Bamillionaires.
And when they met, it was murder.
Number four.
Imagine you just leave the bathroom when you hear a sudden loud noise coming from the bathroom, and that loud noise is a swan crashing through a window. Not like a sparrow, not like a robin. I mean, that happens sometimes. Uh-huh. They just run into the windows. Because here's the thing about birds. They're dummies. I mean, the term bird brain, that comes from the fact that these winged nightmares are all just dumb as posts.
Sky rats.
The swan, this happened in Britain, crashed through the window of a woman's bathroom just moments after she had stepped out of that bathroom to go into another room in the house. The RSPCA, that would be the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, said this woman had just left the bathroom when this swan came crashing through the window around 8 o'clock in the morning on Monday. An animal rescue expert was called to the scene to collect the swan. Guy's name is Keith Ellis, and he says, I have seen them crash land onto busy roads thinking they were rivers, but nothing like this. Boy, would that suck if you were a swan and you thought you were going to land in a river and you're bracing for, you know, that water dive and it's a road.
Yeah, here comes a semi.
Ouch.
Boy, I remember you hated that movie Black Swan.
Well, it was not my favorite.
You just couldn't stop talking about how much you hated it.
Yeah, I've blocked it out of my memory. I remember it's
until
about,
now.
Yeah, it's about Natalie Portman is a ballerina who goes crazy, right?
Yeah, she's a murderous ballerina.
Does she murder somebody?
Isn't she murderous?
I don't remember anything from that movie we saw in the theaters, and I remember being unhappy.
I remember there was talk that it was going to win Picture of the Year. Now, I don't think it did it?
I think she won the Academy Award for Best Actress.
Who won it that year?
The year that Black Swan was nominated?
Huh?
A psychological horror film. Black Swan. She's a classical dancer in the New York Ballet Company. I don't understand. She ended up winning, right?
Was she like an understudy that wanted to kill the star or something?
I do remember that now that I'm looking at this, there's a scene where she makes out with Mila Kunis. Now, I didn't hate that part of the movie. But the rest of it, why would you even bring that up?
She makes out with Meg?
Yeah, but she doesn't call her Meg. Shut up, Meg.
You're going to be a wonderful lover.
Didn't she win Best Actress for Black Swan?
That sounds right.
Terrible, terrible movie. I don't remember anything about it other than, yeah, as you point out, I didn't care for it. You wanted to know what won Best Picture that year?
Because I know there was talk that one was going to win.
Mm-hmm. The King's Speech won Best Picture that year.
Ah.
If that's something that...
What year was that?
That would have been 2010.
Oh, boy, that's going back there.
Sure is. Now, I want you to know the swan is recuperating, even though it went through this window.
Swan, hummingbird.
The swan had to undergo emergency surgery at a local veterinary practice, but is now said to be recovering at a wildlife center. And once it's back to full health, the swan will be released into the wild, which is probably a good idea, but also probably a very stupid idea. Because now it's got a taste for bathroom windows.
Indoor plumbing.
They say that she's lucky that she wasn't in the bathroom when it happened. Because this thing crashed through the window and there was glass shattering everywhere and it could have caused her serious injury. The swan must have been disoriented at the time. They think that the swan was looking and flying to a nearby river and must have misjudged the direction.
Well, I can say this, if it wasn't disoriented before the crash.
That'll do it.
It was after the fact, when it was actually in the toilet. Yeah, I bet it was disoriented at that point. Who wouldn't be?
This is not what I had in mind.
I'm in the wrong place. Nice cobblestone.
This isn't right. We have audio from the swan. Okay, so you're going to be fine, swan. It's all going to work out. They also say it was pretty windy at the time, which may have blown this swan off of her course right into somebody's bathroom. No, thanks. Look at this window. I mean, that thing just took out. That's a big window. This thing just took out. Well, the swan is going to be okay, in case you're worried about it.
I am.
We don't do stories on this show where any animals are killed. For the most part.
Number five.
Woman in Arkansas fired. This is Newport, Arkansas. Fired from her job at the Taco Bell. Fired because someone recognized her there at the drive-thru from a couple of adult movies that she made.
Oh, yeah?
Lona Wells gets a phone call, and they say, your job here is done. We have to let you go.
Why?
And she says, why?
Yeah.
And the person on the other end said a customer had lodged a formal complaint that there was a woman working in the drive-thru who was doing porn, and as a God-fearing Christian, they didn't feel comfortable giving the establishment their business.
No, that's the premise for a good porn. Taco drive-thru? I'd watch that.
I will live out my days naked and free.
That's not bad at all.
Well, okay, the first stumbling block I have here is, if you're such a goody two-shoes that you can't go to a Taco Bell where a porno star is working in the window, how do you know who she is?
Yeah, how do you know who she is? Because it doesn't sound like this is a name brand. This is probably like...
Well, I guess she's a big deal.
Oh, she is.
She'd been up for some... porno Oscars.
What's the name of the movie? Taco House? Hard Shell?
For the past 3 years, this young lady's name is Lorna Wells.
Lorna Wells.
For the past 3 years...
So there's our picture?
Yes, she's fully clothed here. It's just kind of her face there in the car. Huh. Fired from Taco Bell for being in porn. It was 7:30 a.m., just 30 minutes before she was supposed to clock in. She's in a state of shock, reading here from an article in the Daily Beast. She'd just been fired from her local Taco Bell there in Arkansas in the middle of a deadly pandemic. She'd only been there for a week. Huh. She says, they could have given me a heads up or waited until I got there to say something. I just started bawling. I didn't know if it was because I was upset or I was tickled or I was ticked, rather. I was upset or I was ticked or a little bit of both. She had to return her Taco Bell uniform.
That's some of that Arkansas porn.
This is the only Taco Bell in Newport, Arkansas, a small town of less than 8,000 people. She says, I was working hard. I went in when I didn't have to go in, and I would work a 9-hour shift with no lunch breaks, because in Arkansas, if you can eat on the job, they don't have to give you lunch breaks.
Well, then how much did you eat on the job?
I don't know what the...
Because if I was working at a Taco Bell for 9 hours, some tacos are going to get eaten.
And if she's only working there 2 weeks, she's not sick of the tacos yet,
Not yet.
Yeah, yeah. So...
Yeah, how do you know who this person was?
Well, because I'm so holy. And I, you know, I recognized her from a film that I saw. The person on the other end of the phone said, we got to let you go. And this Wells said, can I speak to somebody higher up about the decision? And they said, no, this decision.
Can I speak to Mr. Bell?
This decision is final. Mr. Bell.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Lorna started stripping in 2010, only to step away 3 years later after getting married to her husband and having kids. In 2017, she started filming amateur pornos to earn extra money for the family.
Well, then that's not amateur.
Yeah, I guess if you're earning money, that's not amateur.
You're now a pro.
Yeah. Is there like an eligibility that they have? For the past 3 years, she's been featured on porn sites and has received two AVN Award nominations, the so-called Oscars of Porn. Mm-hmm. She decided to stop shooting porn because of COVID-19 and figured she'd work at the Taco Bell until the pandemic tied down.
Makes sense.
She says, I basically took it as a replacement for the shoots, so that way we'd have money to pay our bills, buy groceries, and put food on the table. She has young children. She says, I never expected to hear because of your sex work, you cannot work here. At the Taco Bell.
Well, I mean, can't you just get relocated to off the drive through to like the taco line where maybe you're not so visible?
No, I'm sure these holy rollers would still have a
problem. Put her on the sour cream gun.
I don't know. Now, see, that's a movie I'd watch. Now you're talking. Hang on. There's really little recourse for her because the Arkansas Department of Labor and Licensing says Arkansas recognizes the doctrine of employment at will. So as a general rule, either the employee or the employee can end the employment relationship at any time for any reason or no reason at all. The only reason you can't fire someone is on the basis of age, sex, race, religion, national origin, disability, or genetic information. Or if a woman is pregnant or has had an abortion, you can't fire her for that. But if somebody is a porno star when they're not working at the Taco Bell, you can go ahead and fire them. Now, this story is getting a lot of traction because obviously it's crazy that you would be at the Taco Bell waiting for your Fiesta potatoes that are back on the menu and recognize a porno star and then complain because you're so holy it bothers you.
I remember you from Knee Deep in the Chalupa.
Consider yourself zing.
Zing of the day.
I remember you from the movie Running from the Bored Her. The Taco Bell's corporate office has now issued a statement on this because they're getting some heat.
Why don't they bring back that dog?
The little chihuahua?
Yeah.
Yo Quiero Taco Bell guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yo Quiero Taco Bell.
That was a big hit.
It was.
Yeah, whatever happened to that? Did that dog have a name? So the manager says, yeah, we fired her for porn, and now up the chain at the corporate office, they're issuing a statement saying, quote, Taco Bell team members come from diverse backgrounds and experiences, and all are welcome to the Taco Bell family. This former team member worked for a franchise location, and the franchisee has informed us that the accusations made are not accurate and that she was instead terminated for a violation of their policies and procedures.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that would make more sense than somebody complaining about a porno star working at the window at the drive-thru because they recognized her from pornos that they watch, right? But, I mean, I'm not saying I don't believe her. I'm just saying I could see.
So what did she do wrong? What was her infraction?
Well, they don't share that. Oh. And they don't have to.
Oh, that's convenient.
So, yeah, I think I'm more inclined to believe her. But it is also possible that she screwed up and is saying, well, they only fired me because I'm in adult films. Mm. And now people are talking about her and maybe more people go to watch her films and she makes more money for that. I don't know. It just seems. What was the name of that chihuahua? Did he have a name? The Taco Bell Chihuahua?
They should bring him back.
Yeah, why did they stop? Did he pass away or she pass away? Right? The Taco Bell? I know it was voiced by.
And then wasn't there a second dog?
Carlos Alzaraki was the voice,
wasn't
right?
Wasn't there a second dog?
Gidget was the dog who died in 2009 at the age of 15.
Oh.
Gidget was the actor behind that. Why did they stop doing it, though?
They should bring it back.
Yo Quiero Taco Bell. That was the catchphrase.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped doing those advertisements in July of 2000. Wow. That's...
What?
Yeah.
21 years ago?
That they haven't had that chihuahua in the...
That's not real.
They haven't had... The rumor was that they stopped because the dog died.
Yo Quiero Taco Bell.
The campaign was stopped, Darren, because Hispanic advocacy groups lobbied for it to end.
Oh, okay. Well,
because
they don't
because they felt it was like racist.
Okay,
I guess the Latin Americans accused the dog of being a cultural stereotype.
I gotcha.
Yeah, but I mean, Chihuahuas are associated with Mexico. There's a state called Chihuahua, right? I mean, that's
there's a type of cheese.
Yeah. Well, so they're not bringing it back because it's.
I gotcha.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I don't know what this young lady's going to be able to do for a living in the small town in Arkansas now that everybody knows what she does. But that'd be something else, going to get your food at the drive-thru and be like, how do I know you? Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, this.
I can't put my finger on it. Or
no,
can
no
I?
Offense.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
There it is, the top five things. Thanks so much for downloading and subscribing and leaving reviews and everything that you do for the podcast. Most importantly, thanks for your time. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll have another one for you soon.
And thank you to the sponsor, Nature's Treatment of Illinois, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, and the recreational waiting lists are available. All you have to do is go to the website to reserve your time at ntillinois.com.
Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock out,
come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Bye, have a great time.